Okay. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at another one of those powerful words that are in the Bible that have been redefined. I think I've shared with you before. I spoke with a young man and asked him what he was doing for the Lord. And he says, I read my Bible every night. And I said, I asked you what you were doing for the Lord. Reading the Bible is what He has blessed you with. And he said, I have a book, a Bible study, and I do that every day. I said, you didn't hear me. I said, what are you doing for the Lord? And so finally he got all befuzzled and said, okay, I got what you mean. And basically it was nothing. The word we're going to look at tonight is the word service. And it is translated into several other words, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But service to the Lord is awfully important. I mean, there are things that we know if it wasn't for people doing things in the way of service, we would be in dire straits tonight. For an example, where would we be tonight if nobody decided to work at the power plant? We'd be probably without electricity. Where would we be tonight if everybody days ago that worked at a food store decided, you know, I'm tired of doing things for people and being unappreciated. All I get is this lousy paycheck. I'm going to walk out. And they walk out of all the food stores in Marion County, just lock the doors. Where would we be without people who serve? Where would this country be if Christians decided to stop serving God and serve themselves? We'd be right where we are right now. Because that's what's happened in this country. I was just thinking, I know a couple people that aren't here tonight. But I have to get up in the morning to go to work. When do you go to work? 8 o'clock? What are they doing? They're sitting home watching TV. They're sitting at home knitting. They're sitting at home doing some hobby. You know, that translates also into further failure when it comes to serving God. This is the time that we get the energy and the strength to be able to serve the Lord. A person who doesn't avail themselves of food over a period of a week isn't going to have much strength in order to serve. And you know, you need to share that with some people. This is such an important thing. In these last days, I mean, I get disappointed. I get discouraged over looking at the excuses and, you know, the feeble things that Christians say. And they don't stand up for the Lord. They don't stand up for the church. They don't stand up for the pastor. And you know, it is very, very discouraging. But the reality is, we're living in the last days. And unless people get nourished, they're not going to be strong enough to face the world out there. They're not going to be strong enough. I'd like for you to take a look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It doesn't use the word sacrificial service. He's not talking about sacrificing our lives here. He's saying that there is something called a reasonable service for the Christian. And you know, it seems as though anything that people do today, they call a sacrifice. I want us to get back to the biblical definition of serving, because it sheds a whole different light on the definition of service than what the world has. And the world is winning against Christians. Today, Christians figure, well, if I show up in church, I'm doing God a service. No, that is a blessing to you. I would say that if you have the health given by God to show up in a church service to worship God, that's a blessing to you. I know it's a blessing to me. Over in the book of Acts, chapter 13, if you'll turn there with me. Acts chapter 13. There are three basic words that are used. Now, there are a couple others, but there are three basic words that are used in the New Testament for the word service and serving. And these three words are what we're going to look at. The first one is the word latria. Latria. And this is a type of service that involves worship. It is something that when you're serving God, you're worshiping Him in some manner. I don't know if you have ever brought singing into your prayer life, but David did. A lot of David's psalms were written as prayers. And a lot of times you can find, you know, what's on your heart can come out as a song of praise to the Lord and thanking Him for things that He's done. And this is what we need to be doing. This is one of the areas of service. This is one of the reasonable areas of service. As a matter of fact, tonight I'm not even going to get into the area about sacrifice service. These are all reasonable. And one of them involves worship. How long do we spend telling God how thankful we are that He revealed Himself to us and what we've learned about Him? I mean, these are exciting times when science, that part that is actually factual, science is actually revealing more and more about the Lord and the great things that He has done. The stars, the planets, the universes. And it's absolutely amazing some of the things that they have come up with. And you can't help but stop and praise God for someone who is so powerful and awesome as to create and manage the entire universe, to also be aware of every hair on your head, to be aware of every thought that enters your heart. I mean, that is what makes God God. A lot of people say, well, He's a miracle worker. He's beyond the sky. And that's as far as they go. That's as far as they want to go. But when you get into the Word and you start worshiping Him, He will reveal Himself more and more. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1, it says, now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, such as Barnabas and Simeon, that is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up by Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered, now that word minister is the same word that we just read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, where it talks about reasonable service. The word service here is the same word as the word minister. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. You know, a powerful part of your prayer life ought to be in praising God. You know, one of the things that I do is, even as I go out the driveway, and you see the trees, and you look at the sky, these are things that God made. There's no human being that can do that. I mean, they can sell His trees at nurseries. They can sell His trees at Kmart or Lowe's or Walmart, but they can't make them. God is the one who created them. And this is the thing about your worship, that it ought to be observing the different things that God has done, the blessings that He has given. I've seen a lot of accidents over the past couple years. And one of the things that I found myself doing as I go past an accident is thanking God that He didn't let me be a part of that accident, that I got through that. And to pray for those people that are there, that by His grace that He would help them, that maybe through this accident that they might come to know the Lord, or perhaps that they would grow closer to the Lord. But, you know, everything around you speaks of the glory of God. And of course, David, as we saw this morning, when he deals with this area of worshiping God, he talks about the heavens declaring the glory of God. He talks about the heavens and the clouds and the seas, even praising God. The trees clapping their hands out of praise to the Lord. And all these things ought to remind us, why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we be praising God and serving Him at the same time? As they were serving the Lord, you'll notice that the Holy Spirit spoke to them. I think one reason that a lot of people don't get what they ask for is because they don't approach it in the right way. They don't approach it with a heart of humbleness and thankfulness and praise to God. Instead, it's, Lord, here's what I need. Do this for me. Do that for me. How about something else? And Lord, by the way, how about taking care of this thing over here? And Lord, can you do this? And of course, God's capable of doing it. But you can take that very same list. And if you approach the Lord in the way of first recognizing how great He is and what a privilege it is to come before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, wow. You know, you can't even get an appointment with a state senator, much less a president or the head of the UN or anything like that, and God is so far above any of them. And yet He will take you in. He will listen. He cares. That deserves our praise and our service. And both of those need to come in together. That the apostles were praying as a part of their service to the Lord. They were worshiping the Lord. And that brought about the Holy Spirit speaking to them so that all of them heard the same thing. They all heard the same thing. Over in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews. Chapter 12, verse 27, says, in this word, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things which are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. That means it can't be voted out. No poll is going to change it. No popular opinion is going to make any difference. God says He's establishing the kingdom and nobody's going to have any influence over it except Him. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let us have grace that we may serve God acceptably. I mentioned about not having electricity if people didn't serve. Not having food in the stores if people didn't serve. People aren't going to get the gospel if people don't serve. That's the bottom line. Unless God's people serve the gospel, get it out, then the world is going to get worse and worse and worse faster. And churches all over the country are doing this. They're so involved in self, everybody wants to do their own thing, that they neglect this very important scriptural principle. And that is, God's people have a reasonable duty, have a reasonable service before God. It's not extraordinary. It's not sacrificial. Some people are called upon to do sacrificial things. But for the average Christian, everything that God asks them to do is reasonable. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you in my prayers." God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. Whom I serve with my spirit. All right, he's talking about service with his spirit. Now, we can understand how a person can serve with their body. They can clean the church. They can drive the bus. They can teach in a class. They can fix chairs. They can do all sorts of things. We understand that you can serve with your body. How do you serve with your spirit? What characteristics does the spirit have compared to the other parts of you? What does the spirit do? It's emotions. How can you serve God with your emotions? You know, sometimes when people witness, and I've seen them do this, it's like they're reading from a teleprompter. It's cold. And I'm not questioning their sincerity. But I am questioning the type of service that they're giving to God. Because if you know that your sins have been washed away, if you know that you have been given new life, how can you unemotionally present the gospel to someone else when it has changed your spirit and done so much for you? There's a man I knew. I think one or two of you may know him. He's with the Lord now. Used to be a motorcycle racer up in Indianapolis. And I was with him on a few occasions where we came across some people and he wanted to witness to him. He said, "Let me talk to him." And so he would go over and he talked to them about the Lord. And on both occasions that I saw, he came up to somebody he had never met before, and there were tears streaming down his face because the person was saying, "No, I'm not interested. I have a relative that's a Christian, and they're worthless. I've been in church, and you know it's all a money making scheme, and I'm not interested." And I don't know. I can't remember all the guy's excuses, but this guy came up with a bunch. And this guy, who was witnessing to him, started to weep. And as those tears came down his face, he said, "You don't understand about Jesus, do you?" He says, "You're basing everything on people that have disappointed you." He says, "You don't know about Jesus." He says, "I know about Jesus." He says, "I was a drunk." He says, I went out and I beat people. I did terrible things to people. And you know what? God forgave me. He came down from heaven with his Holy Spirit and convicted me. And he said he did such a wonderful change in my life. I am happy now. God has blessed me." And tears were streaming down his face. Guess what? That guy got saved that night. Serving with our spirit. Serving with our spirit. I think one of the things that's lacking in the music industry, the so-called Christian music industry today, is a lack of serving with the Spirit. There are loads and loads of people who know emotions, but they don't use them. Instead, they depend upon musical technique. And I was listening to the testimony of one person who said, you know, we spent close to 3 months trying to get this track just right. And they were talking about all the technicalities and how they had to get the bass lined up just right and all the meters so that they were on exactly the way they were supposed to be. Daniel probably knows what I'm talking about. But when that music came out, there wasn't any spirit to it. It was musically perfect, but there wasn't any spirit. There wasn't anything that would move somebody's soul, somebody's attention. There's nothing there. I think sometimes we're so hesitant to offend somebody that we want to present things cold so that if they reject it, then we're not going to get hurt as much because we're cold about it. We're not emotionally involved. That's what we were taught at school. They said, never get emotionally involved with your people. That's what they told the pastors. I look at Scripture and I see Paul, I see others talking about serving God with their spirit, which is their emotions. I think that's so important. People today are so calloused, they can't help but be moved by genuine love, by genuine caring, by a genuine defense of the gospel. Instead, what we find today is that cold approach. People afraid they're going to offend somebody and they're going to get turned off. Well, keep in mind that everywhere Jesus went, there were people who got offended. And you have to realize, you know, there was one occasion, 15,000 people came out. I think the untold story is the huge number of people who never came out, because they weren't interested. So what do they do? Did Jesus get offended and say, wow, look at all those people back there that didn't come out to hear me teach? No. He went on, he did what God told him to do. Serving with the Spirit. You need to be conscious of that. Conscious that you're throwing everything into your service that includes your emotions. Can a person, just to give you an example, can a person who comes in on a day and they say they're going to clean the church, does it make a difference if their emotions are in it? Now, people might have differing views, but I've seen a lot of people work. And I can tell you this, somebody comes in who's mechanical, just does things because it has to be done and their emotions aren't in it, they're not going to do nearly the job that somebody who puts their emotions into it does. That's just an example. Over in the book of Acts, chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, we have an example of people using their emotions for the wrong things. And people do that. In Acts chapter 7, verse 42, it says, and God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have you offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices for the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Rephaim, figures which you made to worship them.
and I will carry you away to Babylon, beyond Babylon. He's talking about service. There's a word here, worship, which is the very same word that we were looking at when it said your reasonable service. And it says here that these people, if you want to translate the same word to the same place, they gave reasonable service to the host of heaven. How much work do you think there is to standing up for what is right? Look at what the world is doing today. You know, we have several issues here in Florida. Gambling for the past 10 years has been up for vote. And they keep bringing it up again and again and again and again. It seems as though they're very determined. And you know, every time they bring it up, it gets closer and closer to being passed. There's a guy down in Orlando, a lawyer, supposed to be for the people. And he wants to push the marijuana law. Last election, they came within 2 percentage points. They've been doing this for a long time. Now, you can almost count on it. It's going to pass this election. Because they're determined. They believe this is their reasonable service. Their reasonable service. Look at how long the gays and lesbians have been trying to not only get out of the closet, but to get into the schools, to recruit, to have a vast number of people support their way. They've been doing it for many, many years without success, but they keep trying and trying and trying. And if you listen to many of them, they can get very emotional. Almost to the point where you almost feel sorry for them. And their emotions have won many. Why is it the Christians aren't involved in using emotions? Now, some of you ladies know a little trick, and I'm not letting anything out of school. People can pick this up on the internet. If they want something really, really bad, and their husband just won't flat out give it to them, there's this thing called crying. And they will cry, and they will weep. Oh, please, I don't know what I'm going to do without this. I've got to have this. And they will cry until finally the husband breaks down. He wouldn't break down for other things. But the emotions can move him. Now, people can use emotions for other things that they want. Why can't we want souls as much? Why can't we desire to have souls come to Christ and let them know the joy and the peace, the forgiveness that's found only in Jesus? Why can't we use emotion for that? The Bible says God's people did in times past when they were making an impact on the world. Now, I said there were other types of service. Another is found in Romans chapter 15. Let's go over there real quick. Romans chapter 15. In verse 30, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints." Now there's a question there. Why would he have to pray that his service to God's people in Jerusalem would be accepted? You know, one of the things you have to face in life is rejection. We have a whole generation today of people that they can't handle rejection. I just read before I came out news story about a woman, a mother, who was the mother of an eighth grade girl. She was a little on the stocky side. She wasn't huge, but she was a little on the stocky side. And there were a couple boys that said things against her and slandered her a little bit. And the girl came home a couple times crying. And so the mother, in the state of panic, said, "Oh, they can't do this to my daughter. They can't say things against her. That's bullying." And so she took her daughter and went over to the school the very next day. And she confronted the boy who was primarily responsible for it. And he defended himself and said, "Yeah, I said such and such." And one of the other kids got involved, and some punches were thrown by the kids first. The mother defended herself. The daughter jumped in, and she started swinging at the kids that were attacking her mother. Make a long story short, the mother was arrested. Nothing was done to the other kids. And, you know, it doesn't take too much thinking when you go back in time to when you were in school to realize kids would say some very, very cruel things. Matter of fact, I have a theory that kids say crueler things than adults. And, you look at that and you went through it. One of the things that our parents used to teach us is learn how to defend yourself. Learn how to take care of it. Don't come running and saying, "Oh, they called me a name," and just break down and want to commit suicide. I mean, that is how bad our society is today when it deals with rejection. "Oh, so-and-so called me a name. I'm rejected. I'm not a part of that group." You know, as Christians, our faith today is officially rejected. Islam is now being propelled to the very forefront of this country's theology. In the public schools, state of Virginia, a number of schools have had reports of teachers converting the students to Islam, requiring them to say the oath that makes a person a Muslim. We have the president visiting a mosque in Maryland. The mosque that has had numerous terrorists come out of it, who has very strong ties to the Muslim Brotherhood, and who has a financial track record of giving to terrorist groups. And this president went there to worship. As a Christian, you're not getting equal treatment. You're not getting fair treatment. You're being called names. And one of the things you have to deal with is whether you're going to pay attention to those on the outside or whether you're going to pay attention to the one that God put on your inside, the Holy Spirit. The other word, service, that we just looked at is a word that focuses on helping others. And over in Acts chapter 1, talking about Judas and what had happened to him, how he had fallen. In verse 17 it says, "For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry." The word ministry there is the same word service in the Greek. It's the word service. Is it possible for a person to serve in a church and still be lost? I know numerous cases. Not here, but I have known numerous cases. Simply because a person serves in that capacity, then that doesn't necessarily mean that they're really saved. That is the word diakone. And that's the word that we get that translates into the word deacon later on. Service. Service in helping others. I want to touch on the third word, and we'll close with that. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Jesus is teaching a parable here, and I'm just going to take the first verse. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." And then it goes on with the parable of the talents. One guy got five, another got two, the other guy got one. Well, the word that we're looking at here is the word servant. And that word is doulos. And what it means is a bond servant, a slave, one who gives himself up to another person's will. And we look at this, we realize, all right, the kingdom of heaven, obviously talking about God. It says, as a man traveling into a far country, Jesus had to go back into heaven. And before he did, he gave responsibilities and duties to people here on this earth. Service. It's interesting that this is the word that Jesus used most often to describe his children. Doulos, servants. It's also interesting that it's the very same word that when Paul writes the epistles and introduces himself, he says, Paul, an apostle and a servant of Christ Jesus. Very same word, servant. Now, there are different types of service, as we saw. Number one, there's a servant that serves by worship, or includes worship in with their service. Then there's another kind that just does good things to help out. It's another kind of service. Certainly ought to be included in every Christian's activity. But the third word is the word that really gets a grasp on what we're supposed to be. Servants. Not kings, not yet. I haven't seen anybody with a crown on. That's coming later. Instead, we're servants. And Paul recognized that. And as he teaches, he comes as a servant of God to present the truth of God's word. Over and over again, you see the scripture used. In Romans 6:16, he says, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Who do people serve? Who do people serve? When you tell yourself, "I can't do this for God," who are you serving? When God lays a burden on your heart and says, "I want you to do this," and you come up with some excuse, who are you serving? The Bible says that we are the servants of whoever we serve. If we are the servants of self, then self is our king. If we are servants of the world, then whatever the world expects of us, that's what we're going to do. If we're servants of Almighty God, and whatever He says, that's what we do. Even though the Bible uses different words to describe service, all those words are quite different than the way the world looks at it. The world has twisted things around, and they make people believe that if you read your Bible, you've done service to God. That if you get on your knees and pray, you've done service to God. That if you come to church, then you've done service to God. And that's what the world wants you to think. But I believe as we've looked at these scriptures today, we can see that the Bible paints a totally different picture. And take any of the words that the Holy Spirit used, any of the Greek words the Holy Spirit used to describe service, and it doesn't come close to what the world's saying. We have to be very careful not to accept, not to be infected by the poisonous thinking of the world. The world is so rapidly changing. It is getting sicker and sicker all the time. And there are people today whose thinking is just going backwards. And one of the tragedies is it is affecting everything around us. America is becoming a third world country. One of the popular rap stars this week came out and he said that he is going to put all his money into promoting what he calls the fact that the earth is flat. What can you say? This is the way the world is heading, toward ignorance, toward anti-Christ behavior. These are the things that are happening around us. And we have to be dedicated to the Lord because he said there's a certain thing that is your reasonable service. That's not extreme. Reasonable is not extreme. Reasonable is not sacrificial. Reasonable is something that is expected. And it means putting our bodies, our lives on the line and letting God use us in these last days to make an impact. One person can make an impact to so many. One person. And if God can speak through you, because you took the time to worship and serve Him, and you took the time to hear from Him so that His Holy Spirit can work through you, many, many people can be affected. Let's bow in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you that you set down a definition of service that is quite different than what the world teaches. And I pray, Lord, that we might take seriously our obligation to you. There is a service that comes out of obligation. And a lot of people don't realize how obligated we are. But when you reached down and cleansed us, gave us a new heart, gave us a new life, eternal life, that when you did this, we have so much that we owe you. And we will owe you for all eternity. But Father, help us to realize that that has to play out in real life. It can't just be a feeling of obligation, but instead it has to be something that we do. And Lord, we know that we can't do it on our own, so we're going to need your help. I pray that your Holy Spirit would work through us, that we might serve you acceptably. And Lord, we look forward to each one who loves you, showing that love, showing that attitude of forgiveness and caring, that love that reaches out to people and wants to see them come to know you as Savior. Father, I pray that you'd touch their lives and bless them and work through them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. God bless you. Before we leave, could I hear a four-letter word? Begins with A.